Hey guys, welcome to episode 278 with my awesome guest, Maria Blasucci. I wanted to give a quick shout out to Jesse for your awesome email and wish everyone a belated International Women's Day. And I hope you're having a great March. This is a quick intro, but listen, it's a nice tight episode. I need you to get involved right away. I'll talk to you soon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Now I feel because I have such a fond memory of you trying to pull up a description of your what I was doing, the big ones, and suddenly realized. So when I was there, you normally would read a little something at the beginning.
Yes,
and then
I have
realized you didn't have it in
gotten
front of you.
Lazy, right? And I never memorize it for the podcast I do with Amanda Lund, and I never memorize it, and so I always have to look at it. But then I've gotten lazier recently where I don't open my computer to look at it, and so I think I can do it and I never can, and then it's become a little bit of a bit, but also like I don't know what it is. So it's silly.
I enjoyed it very much.
Well, thanks.
I enjoyed it. It felt like I was suddenly watching someone at like maybe like a spelling bee.
Yeah,
that because is there what was, like a closed eye concentration. Yeah. You're seeing it. Maybe you're trying to picture it in your head.
And I never do.
And you know, you never
the thing,
do.
I'm trying as hard as I can. No, I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to memorize it. I think it's something like, welcome to the big ones. Each week, we just, see? I don't, because I only know a couple words, which is brain-busting moral questions.
Right. And you have to then try to fabricate something around that that sounds familiar that was previously written.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? That reminded me of something so specific. I think, oh, this is what I was going to say. I was going to say, this is the time for you to enjoy this process of not having it memorized, because at a certain point, and someone had just brought this up to me recently about spontaneation, that Paul has had to explain things so much that he started trying to juice it up for himself by just like, suddenly he will just go like this and you can't really hear what he's saying, because he's so used to it that he's like, it's that thing that happens, I think, where you're like, I've said this so many times, I'm now trying to keep it alive for myself by saying it in a weird, stupid way.
This is the
so
way I
this
keep
what
it
I'm
alive.
Saying. Like, this is, these are the golden years right here.
Oh,
when
I had no
when
idea.
You're on the other side of that and you're like, oh my God, I've said this so many times.
Remember when I didn't know what I was saying?
Yeah.
Remember when I couldn't remember?
Remember how charming that was,
God,
when I was still new
I
and
can't
crisp?
Believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
Really just, yeah, dig your feet in and
right.
dig what? Your feet in. No, that's like a stubborn thing. I want it to be more like,
well,
dip your feet, like get it all over, like sink into the mud bath of right now, rather than like putting your foot down and sticking your feet in.
My head's underwater. I'm
okay.
submerged.
No, that's you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Don't do that.
Sorry.
Side note, have you done the full like mud bath, like sit in a full? I haven't either. I think I might feel smothery.
I've always wanted to go to a Korean spa.
Yeah, and I've not done that either.
And get just scrubbed down.
Like aggressively. By people who may or may not secretly hate you and are taking it out on you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the Korean people hate American people. I'm saying the women, as I'm told, it really did sound like that. I'm saying that from the anecdotal evidence I've received from friends, they have said it's so aggressive that you're almost are like, what did I do to you? Like, we've just met, cute little lady.
But is your skin baby soft afterwards?
I'm sure it is.
That's what I want.
I'm sure it is.
That's what I want. Yeah.
But you don't want it to be like painful to the touch. Like, I just went to the, or do you?
Well, no, I don't. But if it's going to lead to being baby soft in like an hour, I will.
Yeah. Your skin looks like it already. It was probably in its state of baby soft.
No. So a woman, I woke up this morning and a woman aggressively scrubbed me.
Every morning. Imagine if we were like royalty in that era where you wake up and you just get pampered. And I say that with a kind of disdain that word sort of brings for me, which is like, it almost, that feels oppressive. The word pamper to me, I mean, it's also a diaper. That's probably part of it.
Yeah.
But it, that even feels oppressive. Like having that much attention on you all the time seems like, oh, you're yes. a mud bath. You're a person who's a mud bath.
Yes. You know, this makes me think of my favorite television show ever broadcast, which is a PBS reality series called Manor House. I don't know if you've seen it.
Now, listen, I've seen it, but my favorite is Frontier House.
Yes.
And by the way, I rarely does anyone know what I'm talking about.
Oh, so I've seen the entire house series. Tickled
pink that you would bring up Manor House to me. Okay. This is a real gift. This feels like a real
gift.
They
just put it on Amazon, which, and I rewatched the entire series.
Yeah, I got to watch it again. Because I think I feel like, here's what, I think I watched it when it was airing and then I like kind of dropped out. I like maybe went to go work on something or
right.
and I forgot to finish it. So I've only seen I think half.
Frontier House is wonderful. Those kids that, you know, they're little shits and then they start like learning about the outdoors and then all of a sudden yeah. they're just like a lot of fun. And then that married couple that lives in their log cabin that they built themselves. Okay, it's great.
It's great. And it made me feel so proud to be from Arizona in a way I was almost embarrassed by. I was like, I think I'm feeling the call of the frontier. Well, I'm feeling like I'm a frontier woman.
Have you seen the one that
woman.
Takes place? Oh, no, that one takes place in Texas.
Oh, yeah, the ranch one didn't do anything for me.
It didn't eat
It was
for
about
me
the frontier. It was about the, like, we made it this far. Here's our beautiful land. With it's not too hot.
Let me ask you this. Have you seen Regency House Party?
No.
Okay.
Wait, what's Regency House
it's Party? It's the same series.
Okay.
But it takes place in England during Jane Austen times, and it takes place during a summer in what would be a Regency house party. So a bunch of single women and a bunch of single men
oh my gosh.
Come
no.
dressed in their Jane Austen best, like Pride and Prejudice. And they have their supervisors, like their women that like look over them. And it's wonderful.
When did this come out? Is
this
it more
is another
recent?
Like early? No, it's like an early 2000s.
One of the earlier ones.
And
I'm writing this down. Do it, not worry.
Regency
I'm writing
House
this down.
Party. But Manor House. There's 1940s house. Mm-hmm, there's
the Colonial House was really fascinating too.
Did I don't think I got through Colonial
that
House.
That one I thought was fascinating for so many reasons. The whole religion stuff was real. That was so much about like. They were supposed to go to church every Sunday because there was a pastor who was sort of also the de facto leader. And there was a
and he started
couple,
getting a little he got a little crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then there was like a family that was like, we're not going to come worship on Sunday. And they were like, oh, yes, you are.
Oh, my God.
And the African-American gentleman who was on that show was if I'm remembering correctly, he left. He had to leave because he was like, this is so disturbing
oh
to me because
gosh.
It's connecting me to the mentality of the colonialists who were like, let's get slaves because the life was so hard there.
Didn't
he was like, I'm
someone's
out.
Someone's girlfriend die while they were on the show and they had to go home. Like one
I
of
think
the,
you're right.
The
someone,
one of the
someone did die.
Girlfriend, like the, one of the son's girlfriends died. He had to leave and then he came back
he came
to
back.
The show.
He came back.
But it was like, oh my God.
Yeah. There's a lot of drama in Colonial House. You may need to revisit that as much as I need to revisit Manor House.
Yeah. I mean, that I don't understand why those aren't just going constantly. Why isn't there a house series every year?
I would love there to be. What would you like to see you feel has not been done yet? This is an early MASH game warm-up. Oh, save it. We're saving it for MASH game.
Okay,
How dare I? Why would I even think that we would talk about that before MASH?
But the reason I brought up Manor House was because, you know, the family that that was... So in Manor House, for those of you who haven't
pampering.
Seen it, please do yourself a favor and go watch it because it's on Amazon. It's a PBS. It's like a learning series.
You do find out a lot about what life was like during those
but
times.
I think it was made like it's done by PBS. So it feels like something you'd watch in school,
but
maybe.
Totally
but it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And the family that is like the family of the house feels very. The dad doesn't. The dad loves being the dad of the house. Now the sister. OK. And then the mom.
I'm so in.
The mom likes it too, although she gets a little lonely. But then the mom's sister lives with them, but she's unmarried and she's kept locked away she's locked away in a room. She's not allowed to do anything because she's like a spinster, right?
Yeah.
In that time. And she has to leave because she's losing her mind. She has to leave. And she's like, I can't stay here anymore. I have to go. But the people downstairs, I mean, although they have, you know, a lot more work to do, the people that the servants,
yeah,
they seem to have a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so I don't know. I always think, would I rather be upstairs or downstairs?
Yeah.
And I think if I was upstairs, I'd want to be able to walk downstairs and hang out with the downstairs people, but you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
So
we've all seen, I mean, some of us have seen, most people have seen Downton Abbey, I guess. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. It was mm-hmm. a sensation.
It was. But that was after Manor House. Manor yeah, House it was, paved, it was. I promise you.
I paved the way.
Downton Abbey, the, whoever created Downton Abbey saw Manor House and went, well, this can't stop here. I need to keep going.
That's right. And it was also the, yeah, it's a, I always forget his name, but it's a guy who's done a bunch of that kind of adaptation, but he really hit a huge home run with Downton Abbey. And Upstairs, Downstairs was a PBS show that was a fictitious, it was kind of like, I think Downton, I would say Upstairs, Downstairs preceded Manor House. They yes. may have looked, PBS may have looked at Upstairs, Downstairs, which was, I think, also a PBS slash BBC production.
I gotta watch that. It's on my
and
queue.
Said,
I
yeah.
gotta watch it.
Because there's an old one and then they tried to reboot it and it, the reboot was kind of flat.
Mm.
It was like, oh wait, they already rebooted it via Downton Abbey and that was better.
Right.
But the original one is like the PBS era where it everything, the cameras aren't great and the sound isn't great. So
and when they go outside, it feels like you're in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like British shows, yeah. when they walk outside, all of a sudden you're like whoa, get hit whoa. Over the head with like, what are you? Where yeah. are you?
Yeah.
What year is it?
Yeah.
Which I love.
Now, do you feel like, is there any part of you when you see stuff like that, like I was sort of saying about the Frontier House, which is beyond a stretch. Do you feel like there's any part of you that like your genes are like reacting to like, gosh, there's something about this that feels like yeah. I can understand it. Or I, there's something about it that feels almost like a memory or some yeah. sort of, I know that's yeah. very hocus pocus, but.
No, I get what you're saying. And yes, like I long to live. I don't know how I do, but I like to think in my mind that I do very well off the grid mm-hmm. to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anyone who knows me who listens to this is
laughing.
Is going, Maria, you are very picky about what hotel you stay uh-huh. in. And I get it. But there is no middle ground for me.
Girl.
Right?
I just had to, I so dramatically pointed at you.
Me. She pointed
at me. I pointed at you as if there could be someone else in the room that I would have pointed out, but I picked you of all right. the people in the room.
I will go out into the middle of the forest and live off the land. I will kill a rabbit for food if I must. And I will stay at the Four Seasons and have the time of my life. But God help me if I stay at a Holiday Inn. Do you know what I mean?
I really know what you mean.
And I don't mean that literally. Of course I stayed a Holiday Inn. My financial situation allows me to not do otherwise. Uh-huh. but what I'm saying is there's one way or there's the other way.
I feel the same way. And my version of that would be like agreed that I want it how I want it based on what's available to mm-hmm. me. But if I am like, even like being at Sketchfest, which is a stupid example because it's still like a nice hotel and all that. Mm-hmm. But I so quickly adjust. Like I remember like even just going camping or going to camp, like I got so used to not showering to the point where right. you're like, I don't ever want to shower again.
That's
I don't
the thing.
Care that I smell. I'm so happy. Like I don't like I'm just scrubbing my teeth with my finger. Right. I know that I'm sure someone would say like that's because there's an end to it. But I think that people are very adaptive and adaptable
yeah.
and I would become, I think, as a quote unquote addicted to shower, like to bathing in a stream.
Yes.
If that's what I did for a year, I would be like, it would be like coming and then you would come back into society and you'd be like, everything's too loud. There's too much of everything. There's what has happened. Like everything is just too much. I got to get out of here.
Me and a couple of my friends went camping a couple months ago and it was up in the Redwoods and a couple people went and drove to go on a Redwood tour. And I was like, I've seen it. And also I just did this like long drive. I don't want to, you know, I just want to stay at the campsite. So me and my two friends, Tally and Melissa, we were, there was a stream right by our campground. And for the next 2 hours, we had nothing to do. So there seemed to be a little blockage in the stream. We spent the next 2 hours moving the rocks in the stream to let the river flow.
I love it.
And I was having the time of my life.
I totally hear you. I mean, I know everyone who knows anything about both of us is going like, you are fucking idiots
but
right
we're not,
now.
But I can't tell you how pleasurable that is. I'll give you another example.
And there are plenty of people, by the way, who would not say, at least we have that relationship to it. Maybe yeah. we'd be proven wrong and someone is like very smug right now thinking yeah. they could prove us wrong. But there are plenty of people who are like, mm-mm, not for me. Yeah. Don't want to put my feet in any water that I have. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. I started to make chicken stock.
Great.
I've never felt more connected to my frontier roots than looking at a huge cast iron pot filled with just water, chicken bones, celery, carrots, and onion, yeah. and watching it slowly morph. I'll stand there looking at it for like an hour.
How about that?
And my boyfriend will go, "What are you doing in there?" And I'll go, "I'm just watching it."
Yeah.
And I'll watch it turn from clear to yellow to stock.
Yeah.
And it's, I just love it. I mean, I can see myself on the frontier over a pot waiting for, you know, my husband to come home with the bison yeah. and just, you know, loving it.
So tomorrow someone says, like, Maria, I'd like to cast you on this show. And yeah. I'm not going to go into the MASH categories because, again, I'm yeah. very much looking forward to it. But yeah, if someone was like, you can do this.
Yes. You would say yes. That's mainly my reason for wanting like Manor House to come back again is so I could maybe have a chance.
Yeah. Do they cast Americans?
No. So that would
maybe
take a little
time. Maybe this time.
Maybe this time.
How Italian is your Italian roots?
My dad is Italian. My mom is Irish German. And so my dad, my grandma and grandpa, my dad's mom and dad were both born in Chicago. And my grandma's parents are both from Chicago, but my grandpa's parents came from Italy. So it's two generations mm-hmm. from Italy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So we're not fresh off the boat, but we're, you know.
And your mom's family?
They were, I think
here
they
longer.
Yeah, I think they were here longer, not too much longer. But and they settled in Cleveland.
And where are you from? Where'd you come
from? LA, baby.
LA all the way.
Mm-hmm.
All the way. What does that mean?
It means
opposed to what?
I like, get it. Whatever you just said, I felt.
Okay, good. Whereabouts in LA? LA proper or
Pacific
like
Palisades?
Okay,
yeah.
It's beautiful over there.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Do you? You're not over there still. You're not by the ocean, are you? Still?
No. I would love to go back to the West Side. I know there's a big divide between the West Side and the East Side. I don't feel that divide too much because I always like. I still lived in the Palisades like after college. So I had like a job in Hollywood. Like I was always driving to Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, if you say you're moving to the West Side, people basically throw you a going away party.
I know.
Which
it's
is a
true.
Bummer.
There are friends that I have on the West Side that I just don't ever see. And I mean, I founded a festival with one of them and he's mm-hmm. like in Century City.
Yeah.
And I just never see him. Like holidays, maybe.
Right. But it's so like the air is so nice over there and it's just the breeze. It's nice. I don't know. Yeah.
When I go, I mean, I still have the relation. I've been in LA well over a decade now, which totally blows my mind. And still, if I go into Venice at any given time, I feel like I've gone to a different city and I'm yeah. on vacation.
Yeah, I know. It's
even if it's for a work thing, I'm like, whew, I feel like my tension is sort of. But I cannot imagine living there.
Why?
Well,
please.
Never been more earnest about anything in my life. That was the most like childlike. Like, well, I mean, first of all, I agree with you about the air. But one thing that I have just made peace with, I think, is that like I am a like stick me in the hills somewhere. I know there are hills over there, but I don't know. I don't know why I can't. I don't connect with it the same way I connected with the East Side. But maybe it really is. But a lot of people say like it's wherever your friends are, like it's wherever yeah. you visited more, or it's wherever, you know, you first move, you just grow roots. Because again, as we've discussed, we adapt quickly.
Yes, that's
right. As a species. And so it just doesn't feel like my world over there.
Yeah. I mean, it does when I go back to the West Side, it does feel like home. It feels like probably how people feel when they go, you know, if they're from out of state and they yeah. go back home. Because I don't make it over there all that much. But it feels really like nice to be there. And it does feel like I belong there more than the East Side. Because I feel like the east side I love, like I love this area and I love the, I would love a Hills house, but if I can't have a Hills house, I'll take the west side.
Understood.
Yeah.
What was your sort of cultural makeup of like your high school and stuff? Did you go to private school?
I went to an all girls Catholic high school, mm-hmm. Marymount.
Mm-hmm. Heard of.
Yes. It's right across the street from UCLA in mm-hmm. Westwood. Go Sailors. And it was pretty, I mean, not everyone there was Catholic at all. And a lot of girls I went to grade school with went to the school as well, but it was pretty,
It was pretty white,
but it was, yeah, I get it was definitely whiter than the other people might have had their experience being.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was diversity, of course.
Did you guys have to wear full uniforms mm-hmm. and stuff?
Yeah, we wore uniforms. I would get detention a lot because I wouldn't wear my blazer on Mondays, because Mondays you had to wear your blazer and your penny loafers.
Uh-huh.
And I just didn't feel like it sometimes. So I'd have to
detention.
Come. Yeah, but detention was usually like coming in an hour early and like putting things in packages. Hmm. It was like free labor.
What kind of things were being shipped out of there? You were like, no, and we also made our own soaps.
No, it was like flyers. It was like flyers to send home with people. You know what I mean? But yeah, I loved it there. I'd go back there in a minute.
Was the uniform, could you wear pants or was it a skirt?
No. Wait, maybe you could. There were a couple girls maybe that wore pants, but no, it was a skirt and a polo shirt and then just black or white shoes and then some sort of sweater.
But the polo shirt could be of your own choosing?
No. It was a Marymount polo.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What are they, are there subjects that they're particularly known for? Like, oh, that's a great school for, because it probably is just a great college prep school.
Yeah, I guess it's a great college prep school. They were good at, our volleyball team was really well known, I think.
Did you play any sports?
I played basketball my freshman year.
So your basketball now is a continuation of a long mm-hmm. standing love affair with mm-hmm. basketball.
Well, that's the whole thing. So I played basketball in grade school, like at the Park League. And then I was like, oh yeah, I love basketball. I'll play in high school. And then I played my freshman year. I was on the freshman team. And then I was like, I'm really not good enough at all. And I stopped playing. And then a couple years ago when I started the Pistol Shrimps, like I was just feeling in my bones that I needed to be active. And I was like, well, what sport do I play? And it was basketball, but I'm bad at it. But I have some sense of what it is.
Yeah, you know? I'm terrible at it. Well, am I terrible at it? Have I given it a chance?
Yeah,
even?
Exactly.
I've barely given it a chance.
There you go. You're tall.
I am tall.
You're closer. You're closer to the basket.
Yeah. I think I really always enjoyed. I feel like when I think back to the little amount that I did PE until I could stop doing PE in high school and take dance instead. I don't ever remember really being taught any rules of basketball. I would go to U of A games with my mm-hmm. dad, so I sort of had a sense of them as a spectator. But it seems like in PE they never bothered taking us all the way into the game of basketball. It was just like horse slash like
no, it was take this ball and throw it around.
Yeah, like we'll all go in a circle. You'll throw it, and then you'll be running around. Then when you get your turn, it was just about getting it into the basket from like a couple of different angles. But there was never any like this is what traveling is.
Right? Yeah. No, because that would have been too much. They needed you to run around. They can't spend all that time explaining it. Unless you know what they should do is they should get everyone to do like 2 miles in running, and everyone wears a headset where while you're running they explain the rules of basketball to you. Different sports, they'll explain the rules, and then when you're finished with your laps
you know how to do something.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, are you guys ready to play basketball?
I really like that.
That seems like a good
I wonder if that would stick. That god, I would be the worst at that, because I could just, especially as like a teenager or a junior high kid, my head was so in the clouds. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, what a soothing background noise to my thoughts recording is.
Yeah.
Did you get into anything like on the art side? Like theater?
I did theater a lot.
And would you guys do productions where you guys would play male and female roles?
Yes. And then
that's cool.
They'd bring in guys for certain roles, like in the musical and stuff. They'd bring in like one or two guys from one of the other one of the other schools.
Would it be from like an all boys school? Like, yeah, would like, you guys swap? Would a girl go over there and be
I actually don't know how it worked. I just know that some boys were there sometimes. But I don't know where they were from.
Were they hot commodities? Were the girls in theater like, ooh, we got a visitor?
No, not at all. They weren't anything like that. But yeah, I love doing theater. I'd never get a, until my senior year, I usually got background parts.
Yeah.
Which was a bummer.
But does that feel like it's more a reflection of like, we have to let everyone get a chance to show? No, they would cast a freshman if she was super talented.
Yeah. And I was super talented, yeah. But I'm just saying that they couldn't see
politically.
Sometimes you can't see what's right in front of you.
It's absolutely true.
And that was happening. They were blind to me.
Yeah.
And but when I played Minion number 2 in The Wizard of Westwood.
You did a Los Angeles area.
Yeah,
adaptation
the backdrop of... had the Getty Center in it.
Listen, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Who decided that? The kids? Did the girls adapt it? Or
no,
was it like
Gail weird? Harding. Okay. Miss Harder. She used to go, blah, Suchi. She was like this woman that wore South Park t-shirts and I think maybe lived in a trailer.
Oh, wow.
But she was just not having anything. But she was like the musical director. And I think some really strange productions came out of her mind.
Like what else?
There was a Wizard of Westwood, and then...
But the premise was basically the same. It was like Dorothy.
Yeah. But it took... I can't remember. But I was one of the Wicked Witch's minions.
Okay.
I wore all black, and I don't remember what the other ones were. But then I was in, like, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. I played Linus. And then
That's a good role.
Yeah, it was great. That was my senior year. I had a lot of good roles. Miss Hackett was the director at that point, and she was really great. But yeah, I loved going to an all-girls school. I think it's probably why I do, like, anything I start now with friends is usually all girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that paved the way for that of like, no, we don't need guys, just girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, these guys know, but for the longest time, it's my perception of it based on nothing because I didn't have friends who went to private school, or if they did, they went to co-ed private schools.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed I would hate it. And it, just in the course of doing this podcast, it's become clear to me that I probably would have completely flowered and like loved it.
Have a lot of people gone to private schools that have been
on? A fair amount have gone to all girls in some cases all boys school for the summer guys. Yeah, and just stuff that I wouldn't have thought about. Like, oh, so it really does remove the sort of like...
It removes any vanity. It removes any... It's not even in my brain to think about what it would be like to have... I guess in college, I had guys in my class, and in grade school, I did. But I guess during those formative years in high school, to not have guys around... It is very... It's just like, be the best that you can be. Nothing's holding you back or taking your mind off it.
You don't feel like you had... There were girls who, like, bullied or got bullied, or girls who were sort of still, like, you know, the sort of cliches of, like, there's hitching their skirt up high still.
Oh, no, and, like, for sure. Sort of, like, I rolled my skirt up. Like, everyone... Yeah, of course.
God, I would have been tugging my skirt down as hard as I could. I mean, I did not want anyone to see my legs.
No, there was still absolutely a sense of wanting to look good in front of, you know, your friends and everything, and some teachers, but for the most part I never saw any true bullying. I saw, you know, of course there were like the queen bee type people, but I never like saw anyone crying in the bathroom. Do you know what I mean? So it was a pretty good vibe for the most part.
Yeah. Except for you were a bad kid because you wouldn't wear your blazer sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just didn't want it.
You're the rebel in the bathroom smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Actually, my teacher thought I never drank, did drugs, did anything. And one day in my English class, my teacher, Mr. Lynch, looked over at me and he went, "I smell cigarettes over here." And I was like, "Mr. Lynch, I promise you, you don't smell cigarettes over here." He's like, "Maria, you need to stay after class." And everyone in the class was like, "Mr. Lynch, she didn't smoke any cigarettes." I was like, "I don't know how to tell you this, but you're not smelling cigarettes on."
Yeah.
And he was, and
I wonder what he was smelling.
I think
the
girl
nearby
next to me had been smoking cigarettes, but But it was just funny. The whole class chimed in and was like,
Maria, we all know.
Of all the people you could pick on in this class, she didn't do it.
The person sitting next to you probably was like, nice.
Yeah. She didn't say that she had done it.
Now, when you said that you like to dress nice for some teachers, did that mean that you had crushes on some teachers or that they were just like the cool teachers that you wanted to still kind of impress?
No, crushes for sure.
Like, you don't have to name any names, but what kind of people were they?
Just when any younger, I mean, when any younger guy would come to campus, excluding, you know, theater boys, it would be very...
I mean, I love that they're an exception. Were they gay boys?
No, not all of them. They were just, they were too eager.
Okay.
And so, yeah, when any young guy would come to campus, the girls would flock.
Yeah.
And it became a little bit of a feeding frenzy.
Did any of the younger male teachers, like, get into any trouble? There was never any, like, and then he did sleep with so-and-so.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I probably put teachers like that in strange situations. I was very bold. And I would go, like the principal of the school knew I had a crush on this teacher and, like, put us in a room and was like, okay, you guys, I ordered you lunch.
What? Like, who's the principal that they were, like, matchmaking in some weird way?
It was really nice.
Holy shit.
Nothing happened, but it was just like this, you know, no one took anything too seriously, I guess.
Wow.
It
was a different time. Did you feel like you did better in classes did you feel motivated to do well?
I didn't have them as my teacher. They were always kind of just on campus. You know what I mean?
What were they teaching? That you wouldn't be taking their classes.
Younger grades or something that.
Did you like participate in student council kind of stuff? Was there even anything like
that? Yeah, there was student council. I did not participate. What did I do? I did the thing called DTASC.
Mm-hmm.
Drama Teachers Association of Southern California. Mm. Anyone listening that did DTASC, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's this thing that happens twice a year. And in the fall, it's a Shakespeare festival. And then in the spring, it's just a theater festival. And basically you come with scenes prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And all over California, Southern California, you come and you compete and then you get like awarded. So all different schools come and compete. And it's basically like a sports tournament, mm-hmm. but for acting.
So. There was something like that in college that I participated in, but I definitely wasn't a part of anything like that in high school.
Well, I won fourth place.
Outstanding.
My trophy's still in the trophy case.
What does the trophy look like?
It's very small. It's a fourth place trophy.
Is it like a comedy tragedy mask or something?
It's, I believe it is. I really do.
No one knows how to represent anything. But I mean, that's
right.
I guess it was the Greeks, but like when that double mask was originated, people were like, we're done here. Yeah. We don't ever have to come up with another symbol for theater ever again.
Whoever did this, this is good.
This is good, solid graphic design work. This is a good logo.
It's perfect.
Yeah. What did you do what did you perform?
It was an original piece. My friend Christy Bonna and I did, I can't even remember. I honestly don't remember, but I know we wrote it like the day before and our acting teacher was very mad at us, but like we couldn't think of anything original. And then we were like, oh, let's just do this thing. And I think it was just like this simple scene where we were just talking to each other and we got fourth place. I couldn't believe it.
Well, that was going to be my next question was, were you of the thinking of like, I can't believe we only got fourth place? Or we got fourth place.
I don't think our acting teacher is very appreciative either that we got fourth place, because it was like all these other kids had worked real hard and then we got fourth place. Ooh. And we're like, sorry. And then on the way home, our bus got shot at.
What?
I don't remember anything else other than like there was something hit the glass of like the bus and someone said, everyone get down. And I couldn't stop laughing.
Now we know that's your reaction to emergency. Is to laugh.
Laugh.
Were you scared?
No, I don't think I believed. I think I kept going, we got shot at and laughing. I don't know.
Did you have any anxieties or feel like, were you fearful about anything when you were younger?
Very much so.
What were you, what would make you anxious if not being shot at when you were in a school
bus? That was fine. throwing up. I have a humongous fear of that, and it was quite paralyzing in my youth. So that was a big thing for me.
What did we talk about this a little bit on The Big Ones or something? I don't know. Maybe
I don't know. It always comes out. It always seeps out of me.
Well, there's also, I think there's something about it because it's such an isolated thing that is relatable enough. It's like the same thing as a fear of heights, but it's slightly more interesting because it's less common, at least in terms of what people admit. But it's very, this is a terrible, terrible way of describing it for what it is, but it's like a nice bite-sized phobia. It's like, oh, okay, like that's novel enough, and we all hate throwing up. No one likes it.
It's quirky, for sure.
But yeah, it's like very, it's very identifiable. Opposed to just like, you know, having it be something more vague. There's like something death. Like very...
yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, because I, being a kid, I mean, I hated throwing up too, and it did feel like, you know, the amount of times I've thrown up as an adult is dwarfed in comparison with the amount of times I threw up as a kid, just getting sick, having the flu and stuff, like just being exposed to more germs and getting sick more often. And that truly was like the worst part about getting sick. So it's a very realistic, reasonable thing to dread.
Right.
But yours went to a place of like,
I can't go out because if I go out, I might start feeling sick. And then if I start feeling sick, then I might throw up.
Right.
So I better just stay in bed.
But that would be when you weren't feeling sick at all.
Right. But I would start feeling sick because my anxiety would cause me.
Yeah, it causes nausea.
Yeah. So I would start feeling anxious and then I'd feel nauseous and then I'd be anxious because I was nauseous, but I'd be nauseous because I was anxious. Right. And so,
And looking back now, do you think that was about anything else or it really was just feeding into, I guess it's always about something else.
Yeah. I guess in the bigger picture is it's the loss of control. It's your body feeling something. Like with a headache, you can take something and it's gone, right? With nausea, there's barely anything for the most part, except for Ativan, I found, that just like nips it in the bud completely. And so it's this thing coming over you that's so unpleasant that you, this feeling of nausea that's so unpleasant that you can do nothing. You literally can do nothing about.
I think I would almost, I feel like I've said this and many people have as well. Like I'd almost rather feel anything but that. I'd rather have a cold. I'd rather have a fever. I'd rather have a headache. I'd rather have a backache. Like there's just about nothing.
And there's nothing. And I don't know why we're still throwing up, to be honest. Like, why is this still a thing?
Opposed to like, well, if there's something in your system that's got to get out.
No, stay in. If we can find something that it can be in there, it can just be eradicated without me even having to deal with it.
Right, right.
But
zap it.
Yeah, zap it. Yeah, zap it.
Have you had food poisoning as an adult?
No, oh, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not thrown up too many times in my life. That's the ironic thing. Mm. But now that I've said it, I probably will.
Well, no, but that also makes sense because I was paralyzingly afraid of bees when I was little.
Me too.
And it bees because it bees seemed like a bees cuz. Bees cuz I was, you know, so like I couldn't imagine how painful it would be. And it just seemed like, and all, you know, it was just terrifying. And it was like bees are everywhere. And for some reason, I was not a child who could embrace the idea that bees were good and that they didn't want to sting you and all that kind of stuff. I just couldn't get behind that. And so I was just terrified. Any picnic, outside and seeing a bee anywhere near me, my adrenaline would rush. I would have to get up from the seat and like, you know, scurry around and try to like make sure the bee didn't get anywhere near me.
Bees were huge. I had to go to therapy because of bees.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Bees were a huge.
Bees.
Because.
Thank you.
I went to therapies because of bees. like I couldn't go to the beach. Like I remember going to the beach and there were bees everywhere and having to like go sit in the car.
Yeah.
But I got stung multiple times.
Okay, because I was gonna say I never got stung. You've until never been I was stung? In my 20s, and then I finally got stung, and it was awful. But it was my whole relationship to bees changed after that. I was like, oh, okay, it's survivable, and like I was okay, and I hated it, but like I felt really bad for the bee that died, and
yeah, well, he did it to just changed.
But now I hate wasps. It's just it's transferred over now, and I hate wasps. But I have been stung by wasps.
A bee flew into my car like 2 years ago, landed on my hand, and stung me as I was driving.
Dude, my first bee sting, I got into my car, put my seatbelt on, turned on my engine, and it stung me like at my jugular, and I didn't understand what was happening because it was I didn't see it happen and my car was closed.
Ugh.
So it felt like someone had shot me or something. I didn't understand. Shot. I couldn't understand until I saw the little sad bee lying on the seat. Yeah. I was like, I couldn't imagine what had happened. Right. And that was terrifying. It is a weird
it's the weirdest feeling. It's more than a pinch. It's like it's a bad feeling to be stung by a bee.
Yeah. It's much worse, by the way, for me to have been stung by wasps. So I've been stung twice. The same spot on different days.
Oh my God.
In the inner part of my arm, upper inner part of my arm, which is very tender skin.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember very I got stung painful. By, what are the big black bees? Are those bumblebee? What are the big black ones? I got stung on my finger and it swelled up where I couldn't even write. It was on my right hand. I couldn't even write with my, I remember I was in like third or fourth grade.
What did the therapist do to address the bee thing?
I don't remember.
So it worked great.
But I was a very fearful kid. I was afraid of flying, roller coasters. I mean, anything really. I was afraid of
roller coasters. My God, you can connect that to being nauseated. Yeah. Lickety split.
And then being away from home. Like, I never went to camp. I never went to anything. So I was a little bit of a downer, I guess.
Not in those rooms when you would bat your eyelashes at those.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you date? Were you dating in high school? Okay.
No. I did not. Me and my friends had a lot of fun, but we did nothing salacious. Uh-huh. We didn't. We had a lot of fun.
Did your crushes extend to, would you have crushes on like musicians and, and actors and stuff like that?
Oh, yes. Ewan McGregor.
Oh, good one. Good choice.
Well, it went Ryan Phillippe. Was my
I can't support that choice the way I can support Ewan McGregor.
Okay, well, this is funny. I was like obsessed with him, right? Like obsessed in grade school, and then it moved on to Ewan McGregor in high school. But then I was on Drunk History 2 years ago, and I saw on the call sheet for the next day Ryan Phillippe was going to be there, and I was like, whoa, like I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay. And so then I come into the trailer the next day and I'm like, okay, what am I wearing today? And they put a mustache and a and a man's wig on me, and I had to just be like a server. Oh, and I was like, no. Well, God. So there's some really funny pictures of me and him in a scene together.
How was he?
He was nice. He didn't talk much, but my inner monologue for my character was that I was in love with him. So a lot, if you watch me during that episode, I'm staring longingly at him.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So I got a little bit in there.
That was going to be my question was, you know, having the removal of being in Arizona for me and having crushes on people, like the idea that you could actually be living in the same city and going to high school and knowing that your crush could be like shooting a movie down the way would be so different.
A girl that went to my high school lived next door to him. And so it was
so different.
Like a friend of mine lived next door to him.
Yeah.
And so it was, it felt attainable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which maybe was dangerous. But then, it went from Ewan McGregor to John Mayer. And then it just skyrocketed from there. There's been many. But I guess those are the big three.
But it never is. Never the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yeah, but I've only...
Because it was a Catholic school.
Yeah, but I've only met Ryan Phillippe. So okay. The other two. I'm waiting.
The clock's ticking, everybody. The clock's ticking.
The clock's ticking.
God, I don't know if I could name a John Mayer song. Somehow, I'm sure I've heard a million, and somehow I just can't.
I want to run through the halls of my high school. I want to scream at the top of my lungs. You haven't heard that song?
That sounds vaguely familiar. The problem is that when you said, I want to, all of a sudden I just thought it was like, I want to rock with you.
What's that?
All night. Like an old Jackson 5 song. Oh. Or maybe it might be Michael Jackson.
Your body is a wonderland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot. I mean, he's the hits just keep on coming with that guy.
I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure I would know if I heard them, but I wouldn't.
I'll let you know. I know a lot of people are listening to this going, John Mayer, meh. I get it, but those songs are smooth.
Yeah.
And they feel nice.
Why do people not like him? They think he's cheesy?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. But I, you know, when certain music feels nice to my ears, I can't disregard it.
I appreciate that and I respect it. That's one of the things that I think has been so great about getting older, is having such a less attachment to like worrying about feeling shame about liking something or not liking something.
Right.
I cared so much more. And I think I thought I didn't care back then, because I definitely would do things where I was like, and I don't even care. But then there was a whole category of stuff that like I'm sure I deeply cared about. Like if it wasn't cool to whatever group of people it was important to me to be cool to, I wouldn't have admitted liking or not liking something.
Well, I'll say that I like stuff and people will think I'm being like
ironic.
And it was like, oh, Maria likes this. And it's like, no, I really do like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to say, but people will be like, you're just being like, you know, you're doing like a
bit. Like you think it's funny to like John Mayer.
No, I don't. I think it's nice that John Mayer exists and puts out nice music.
Uh-huh. Is that part of the sort of like it's hardly like a downfall, but is it part of being in the comedy world, if you've got a wryness to you and you're willing to like joke or make fun of certain things, then the expectation is that like there can't be things that like your heart is very soft about, you know?
Yeah, maybe, but
particularly if it's something that someone else is like, that's so dorky.
Well, I tend to like things that are very mainstream, but then I also like things that are very not mainstream. And so people, I don't think, can get a handle on it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they think like I'm just being like alternative because I like, you know, you're being so alternative because you like something not alternative. And it's like, no, I just like the sound. Like I love a pop song. My God, I love a pop song.
Yeah.
So sue me.
I feel like more and more, that's what I'm saying, I feel is more acceptable. And I don't know if it's my age or if it's our culture, because there are so many choices now. But I feel like never has it been more okay to be someone who loves like this most like alternative indie band that no one's heard of, and then also watches The Real Housewives, or you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Like I feel
that's like true. It's a that makes okay you a well-rounded person. Yeah, that makes sense.
You're a better human being.
Like Teen Mom, I am the only person I know that watches Teen Mom, and I have for the last 15 years.
Oh, I didn't even know it was a thing. That's how out of it I
am. MTV. It's Teen Mom, Teen Mom 2, but I'll watch that and I love every second of it.
And is it a reality show following Teen Moms?
Well, they were Teen Mom. They were on the show 16 and Pregnant, and then they got their spinoff show.
Oh, okay.
I do not know a single person that watches that show.
What do you think appeals to you about it, if you had to say?
Just watching them all grow up.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like the drama of it, I guess.
Do you feel a sense of like, do you like the, for example, I mean, this is, I'm a bad example of this, because I don't tend to watch reality shows. Like I know that there's a love-hate relationship that a lot of smart people have with certain things like The Real Housewives. I think, I mean, my sense of it is that there is sort of like a, oh my God, she's such a ridiculous fool, but I also love watching her kind of thing.
Right. Although, as my friend said, The Real Housewives of New Jersey, the first season is better than Shakespeare. And I stand by that 100%. And there is nothing. There is no love-hate there. It is just appreciation for the content they're bringing.
All right. Okay. Listen, I have a lot of friends who are very, very funny and very, very, very smart, and they love them. And it's not that I ever tried watching one and was like, I can't do this. Right. I just haven't ever even turned it on. I have no sense of myself, like, in a pompous way that I'm like, I'm above that. I have no sense of that at all.
Well, it's good you don't watch it, actually, because you'd get sucked in so, and especially because you have so many seasons backlogged now.
Right, right.
That you just, we wouldn't see you months. Like, honest to God, you'd be gone.
Yeah. Well,
you'd Howard Hughes it up in here, and then people would be like, where's Janet? I think she's on season 3 of New York.
God, you know? I guess that's true. But now everything you're saying, instead of turning me off, is making me feel like
maybe I need, this is so hard.
Then
do it.
This is so hard. I don't want to exaggerate, but this is the hardest decision I've ever had to make.
It's not. It's just nice to have something to turn on and you can just sit back and you know it's going to be entertaining no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's gonna feel nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
So
why does it feel so nice?
Because it's like these stock characters, but they're real people. And then, like, I don't know, it's just fun to watch.
Something about that formula, they figured it out.
They figured it out.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
God damn. Okay. I want to get into this MASH game with you. We know that I've already been backlogging ideas. I could barely focus on talking about anything else, just thinking about getting to this MASH game already. So for the first category, we got to nail the one that we were talking about at the beginning, which is three reality show set in time and place sort of concepts that you would like to see that you are not aware of existing yet.
Okay.
A la Frontier House and Manor House.
Okay. 1920s Chicago House.
Great.
Let's see here. Gold Rush House.
Oh, great. Oh, that's great.
Hold on. Okay. Do you have one?
I'm hard. Ooh, I do. Barbary Coast era San Francisco house, when the whole Embarcadero was just all of these fucking ships coming in, and then people would get there. I guess that's kind of Gold Rush House, but it's not, because it would be like ship. It would be like ship house.
Right.
Because people would just abandon their ships.
This house is a ship house.
This house is a piece of ship house. Because people would just abandon their ships and go onto shore, and then new ships would arrive, and people would have to climb over the existing ships to get onto the city. And that just happened. So there was like a city of abandoned boats, but there would be like the whore boat, the hotel boat, the bar boat.
Wow.
So people were going in and out of the city. So, but there were like old, like things were just starting to decay and rot. And so even now, San Francisco's Embarcadero, like way into the Embarcadero, are all built on old shipwrecks. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we'll say Gold Rush House is more of like a mining for gold in the hills house, but then we have Barbary Coast house.
I'm going to let you know a little secret. I've never been to San Francisco.
We got to get you up there.
Never.
Well, you got to do something at Sketchfest.
Yeah. I'll be there. yeah, that sounds good. I'm trying to think. I mean, that, because it would have to be America. Or I guess it doesn't have to be America. If I'm thinking of another.
Oh, by the way, I just put Barbary Coast
House. That's like, good.
This is like
a game I play in my head that just feels nice to think, like, what would I want to see? So I'm just, you know, yeah, those three are great.
So this segues into the next category, which is very adjacent, which is three places. Usually I would do like three places you have a vacation house, but in this, and sometimes I'll go like, and it can be, you know, other worlds, it can be blah. Mm-hmm. But for you, for this particular category, I want to do three places that you have to go off the grid and live off the land and mm-hmm. kill your own food, find it, harvest it, you know, all that kind of stuff. Three sort of places in the world, areas, climates, that kind of thing.
Okay. One would be like a Walden Pond type area. Mm-hmm. So, an East Coast forested transcendental.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Just somewhere where I could sit and read.
Yeah. And you would like have sketches of all the birds that would come around.
Yeah. So many sketches.
a lot of books with pressed leaves.
That's
in
what I'll
them.
Do at Sketchfest.
Great.
I'll sketch all the birds. and then like England, like
like a middle of the country English, like countryside, like a Pride and Prejudice type country house. That would be second. And then third would maybe be off the grid.
Yeah, very off the grid.
Very off the grid. Gosh, I don't know, because like all I have to maybe like I've never been, but I've always wanted to go to like the fjords up in
I mean, it would suck for the cold part of
right
the year,
but I've always wanted to go because I don't want to like stay at a hotel up in that wilderness. Like I'd love to go with a group of people where it's like all camping and everything, but you're just really out in the wild.
Yeah,
so yeah, just put okay, the fjords.
Great.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Three. Let's do three. Now, for in this particular case, it doesn't have to be Mary, but it can just be like three alternate universe, like companion, boyfriend, sexual partner, husband. But three, and it can be characters from things. It doesn't have to just be like famous people from any era, any age.
Okay. Mr. Darcy.
Right.
Georg von Trapp from Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Let's see. And give me a second.
Take it.
Simba from The Lion King.
Amazing. This is how the game is played, my friend. This is how the game is played. I couldn't support that choice more. Could not support that choice more. In fact, it's going to segue me into the next category, is like three creatures, three non-human creatures that you can transform yourself into.
In real life? A dog.
wait a minute. Is the question A, is this really going to happen? Or B, do they have to be real animals or could they be magical creatures? I'm asking you when you say
real
life.
No, I was just saying that as a joke.
Okay.
But you're saying in this situation, if I could turn
I'm
into-
saying they can also be fictitious creatures in addition to being
known animals.
No, I
don't want
to
be like a werewolf or anything. Like, that sounds stupid.
Or like a unicorn.
Yeah, no. I don't want anything to do with any of that. Like, any beast from like a fantasy movie, no. I don't want to be in that world. I don't want anything to do with it.
Okay.
They have to be creatures. I'd love to be a cat, just great. So I could like, you know, nap and eat and play.
Great.
A bird would be nice. Maybe like
I have dog, by the way. That was you said that first. You still mean that?
Yeah, yeah, I still mean that. And then a bird, a dog, a cat, and a bird.
Like a little kid's book.
Yeah. Those are the three I want to be. yeah, a bird would be great.
Do you have a specific kind of bird that you'd want to be? I know you like to sketch them a lot when you're out in at Walden.
No, just one that's like, you know, out and about, you know, not one that's in a cage.
That would suck so bad.
I know. Or I don't want I don't want like anyone that could be, you know, a pet to like a little 5-year-old.
Right.
Something that's out in the wild, but nothing that flies too high, just because like I'd want friends and and they're so lonely up there.
Yeah.
But not a pigeon, because those are
Well, maybe like I got a lot of goldfinches around here that I've attracted due to all those seeds I put out, and they're damn cute.
Okay, yeah.
And they're very social. They're always around each other.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to be that. Yeah.
They're very
because,
good looking.
Oh, this is, I love woodland creatures. Mm-hmm, so anything where I could be in the woods. Have you ever seen the show Little Bear?
I don't think so.
It was a Nick Jr. show. It's not.
Is it based off of the books?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've read the books, but
it's the most lovely TV show I've ever. If when I'm feeling sad, sometimes I'll put it on, and it's so comforting to me. It's just about this little bear, and he lives in the woods with all his woodland creature friends, and then this girl Emily that visits in the summer for like to her grandparents comes out and plays with all of them.
Is it a cartoon?
Yeah,
it's not like live action.
No, yeah, it's a cartoon, but it's just like one episode. Little Bear's mom will be like, let's have a picnic today, and they'll just go out and sit in the woods and have like lemonade and cake, and that'll be the episode for the most part, or they'll put on a little play in the woods.
Great.
That's all I
Sounds
want.
Sounds ideal. I know. It really does. That's great. Okay. Oh, actually, that is, will segue to our next question.
That's great.
This will segue right into our next category, which is three television shows or films that you can jump into and just be in that world. And you're not revisiting the plot, or you're not a character in it. You're just in that world.
I'm just in that world. Well, let's put down Little Bear, because I really do love that world.
Great. I know. It was like I was testing you.
I know.
Will she?
Gosh, what other TV shows where I'm just in that world? I mean, I really liked Big Little Lies. I loved that world. Yeah. And I've been wanting to rewatch it recently. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maybe that, where I just jump in and I'm just there. Mm-hmm. And, what would you say? I'm not going to use your answer. I'm just...
Mm-hmm. Just spitball off of?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know. I would, based on what we talked about, I would maybe throw myself into like a Pride and Prejudice kind of, you know, world, just to get something different going. Although the clothing would be slightly oppressive, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's just put Manor House down.
Oh, great.
Because it's tying everything
in. Good call. Okay. Three foods or drinks that you can have in this alternate universe that in this realm are, you know, maybe they're bad for you. You have an allergy, high in calories, feel sick afterwards, anything like that, that in this universe that we're creating, you can have in perpetuity with zero ramifications.
Donuts.
Great.
My favorite food. The boiling crab legs.
Okay.
With the whole shebang. And like a homemade chocolate cake.
Oh, great.
But not too much sugar, but just really a fluffy, nice fluffy cake. With fresh whipped cream, maybe.
Ooh.
But again, not too sweet.
Right. Yeah, you don't want the whipped cream to be too sweet. You don't want the cake to be too sweet.
No, I just like that little bit of sweet, little bit of creaminess, and just a fluff.
Mm-hmm. Great. I couldn't agree more. It sounds wonderful, and I'm angry that I don't have access to it right now. Okay, next category is essentially, it nicely relates to the idea that you're running 2 miles listening to something. So we're going to do, usually I just do that you wake up in the morning with three skills that you didn't have before, but I'm adapting it to your episode. So it's three things that after 2 miles of running and listening to the instructions on how to do it, you are now an expert at.
It would be honest. I would love to be able to draw well.
Okay.
And I know you can't learn to draw just by hearing about it.
You can in this situation by running laps and listening to someone tell you that you will be able to, after 2 miles, you'll be an expert.
I would love to draw really well.
Great.
I'd love to be able to play the guitar really well.
Great.
And I'd like to be a fast reader.
Great.
Like, I'd love to just pick up a book, read it, and... Because I read well, but I don't read. It takes me a while to finish a book.
Yeah.
And then I get bored.
Yeah.
So,
I get it. Okay. Final category. This is where I really start to pressure myself unnecessarily. Let's do three people, in history or the present that, it might be slightly unrealistic, certainly in the past because they are no longer alive, but that it would be unrealistic to collaborate on something with anything. It could even be something that you don't necessarily know how to do or do in this reality. Three people that you could have like some sort of artistic collaboration with.
Okay. Let me think. God, these are questions that... Do people come in here with just like answers off the top of their head?
No, it's a cruel trick I play where no one is prepared for anything and then they feel like, why are you making me answer all these important questions at the drop of a hat?
Yeah, because...
Like they don't matter. Like I can just toss them right off.
Okay. Hold on. Oh God, I don't. This is hard.
I know. I'm really calling on your improv brain, and everyone understands that it's like it may not be the thing that you would have thought of if you'd had, you know, 2 days to really think it over and like thumb through. Like, let me look at some of my books and like, I'll look back at some old emails to see if I ever said anything about anything. This is like, it's sort of off the cuff, like. For whatever reason you are thinking of, you know, so and so.
Okay. Beethoven.
Great.
Because I could say whatever I wanted and he couldn't hear it.
That's it. That's the reason.
Oh, you can't hear me? yeah, that guy. I don't know, like an old Hollywood actor that was really good, like a Vivian Leigh or something like that. Mm-hmm. She might be fun.
Let's throw her in there.
And Prince.
Okay, tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Oh,
what did what happened?
No, it's just a little thing, and then I'm gonna pause, but it was just short. I hadn't done it. Very, some people like really make me just go. No,
I thought because I had been thinking for so long that I needed to.
I appreciate that, and I have no ill judgment towards it. I'm gonna pause this, do a little bit of calculating, and come back with your guaranteed fictitious mesh.
Oh my god! Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have the results of your exam.
Okay.
And I want to let you know that in this case, you absolutely did not win fourth place. You're being awarded first place.
Oh my gosh.
In your own future.
That's awesome.
And I need to get a trophy made because I do not have anything ready and on hand for you. Now, the first thing I'm going to start with is okay. All right. I'm just figuring out whether I'm going to give you a I guess the mansion, apartment, shack, house, I'm going to maybe parlay into some other thing because we both know that when you're off the grid, it's a cabin or nothing. Like, you're probably not going to end up.
Apartment.
Yeah, it's not going to be an apartment.
Oh, I'm off the grid. It's an apartment.
It's a duplex.
Yeah, it's a duplex off the grid.
But I will tell you that you do have a little cabin up in the fjords, which I'm very excited about. I think that's very exciting.
That's awesome.
I really want to go on a river cruise. They say that's one way to see the fjords.
Yeah,
really,
or like
nicely.
Go to take a cruise to from like Greenland up through the fjord. Yeah. That would be nice.
That's got to go on the list for sure. Mm-hmm. So congratulations for your little cabin in the fjord. I also want to congratulate you for your house.
Wait,
I'm really questioning myself. Well, you got your usually I would just do like a vacation home, but now I've turned it into like two separate categories because I really wanted to address the getting you into. So I'm going to say you have the manor house.
I'm sorry,
of
what?
The manor house. So not only are you like able to go into the world, your house is the manor house. So you can, I mean, it's your house. So I feel like you could go back and forth and try both out if you wanted to. Like, you don't have to make the decision to only be upstairs downstairs.
I am so excited.
Yeah, you got manor house. Pretty great.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. Oh my God.
I'm so glad. You're so glad. This is what it's all about. I also want to thank you for bringing the world of 1920s Chicago house to all of us to enjoy.
That's going
to
be fun.
That's
right?
Fantastic. You did a fantastic collaboration with Prince that a lot of people are still talking about. It's really, really, really just some interesting, great choices musically. I'm assuming it's music that you collaborated with.
It was a different, it was a multi, we did couple things
like a multimedia. I remember you guys did that. There was like an installation at the MoMA that you and Prince put together of those like music, light, sound.
Oh, it was
art,
awesome.
Visual.
He is such a dream to work with too.
Oh, that's good to know.
He's so cool and like open to ideas and stuff. Yeah. So that was a dream. And also, like, he's funny. Like, you don't expect it, but he's really funny.
Did he tease, like, did he, was he just completely embracing of, or did he tease you at all about your relationship with Simba?
You know what's crazy is,
I mean, they're both royalty. They're both royalty.
Yes. And because Simba was once a prince, he gets it.
Yeah.
And
I bet they bonded big time.
They bonded for sure. We all went out for drinks this one night to this watering hole, literally. Uh-huh. And and it was just cool, you know? Yeah. So
I, well, and then, and I know that you sort of have the perspective of what it feels like to be an animal, because you're able to take the, to embody a bird whenever you That's want awesome. To, which yeah. is also kind of great. So you get the sort of, I would say, bird's eye view. Yeah. What does that leave us with? That leaves us with your incredibly fast reader.
This is my dream. If I could be a bird and read really fast.
Yeah. Super, super fast reader. And then when it's time to just relax and just indulge in something, which, by the way, isn't even an indulgence, because there's nothing wrong with it and you could have it as much as you want in this world. Mm-hmm. Just a warm, fresh baked, homemade, not too sweet chocolate cake with some wonderful fresh whipped, hand whipped,
I can't believe it,
whipped cream that's not too sweet.
That's, this is, oh, great. This, God, is nice.
That sounds great. Yeah. This is, you really nailed it.
Yeah.
That's your, that's your MASH future.
I gotta put this up on a dream board.
Yeah.
You, I promise you, in 10 years, I will have all of this.
Every one of those.
You watch me.
Woman marries lion and is immediately mauled.
Woman breaks neck while flying off cliff.
Maria, thank you so much for doing the podcast. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah,
I'm
so
delighted.
Much.
Where can people find you? Please tell them where they can listen to your podcast with wonderful Amanda Lund, etc.
Yes, the Big Ones podcast is Amanda Lund and my podcast. You can just find that on iTunes.
Great.
Janet has an episode that is hilarious where we talk about torture.
That's right.
I won't tell you what Janet's views are, but she comes out looking good.
I'm so glad.
So yeah, to that. Oh, you can find me on Twitter at @M_Blasucci, BLASUCCI, or as Paul Tompkins likes to say, Munderscore.
Munderscore. Perfect.
Blasucci.
Perfect.
And same on Instagram. And yeah,
that about does it, guys.
Yeah, it sure does.
We really stuck that ending, finish, landing. We stuck the landing.
Mm-hmm.
I've never stuck a landing less verbally than when I couldn't remember how to say stuck the landing. That feels appropriate. Everybody, I will talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.